First, an investigation out today from USA Today and Gannett newspapers comes to a startling conclusion. Despite numerous pleas from victims and promises from politicians, tens of thousands of rape kits across the United States remain untested. These kits contain forensic evidence collected from survivors of rape, and testing them can provide evidence to identify suspects and bolster prosecutions.
The backlog is a problem here in Wisconsin, and according to our next guest, police across the state are working to prioritize testing of 6,000 sexual assault kits, some of which have sat unexamined for years.
Joining us now is Keegan Kyle. He's a reporter with the Gannett, Wisconsin Media Investigative Team. Keegan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with the number there, 6,000 untested rape kits in Wisconsin. How did you get to that number?
Well, that number comes from a first-of-its-kind survey that was done by the State Department of Justice last year and represents about 80% of law enforcement agencies in the state.
So 80% means 20% did not report. So I guess that number could be higher.
Exactly. That was part of our new reporting this year, was to go back to some of those agencies that did not report and to try to get numbers from them as well.
Now, do you have a sense of how Wisconsin's number compares to the rest of the country?
Well, USA Today found that there were more than at least 70,000 of these untested sexual assault kits across the country. So relatively speaking to our population, we're not a huge amount or a little amount, but we are like a pretty significant chunk.
And when you think about something like this, you might think that you'll get these big numbers from big metro areas, but this investigation found that there were also relatively high numbers of untested kits in rural places, in smaller city departments. How did that play out in Wisconsin?
Well, an example of that would be like the city of Green Bay. So, you know, untested sexual assault kits is not a new issue for Wisconsin or the country. And largely, a lot of the public scrutiny has been focused on these huge police departments like Milwaukee or New York or Detroit. And places like Green Bay or Appleton or Wausau, you know, have not faced the same type of scrutiny to go in and look at how many untested kits there are and to start, you know, evaluating whether they needed to do something about them.
Was Green Bay the highest number of untested kits in the state?
No, that would still be Milwaukee.
That is still Milwaukee.
But, you know, what's unusual about Green Bay is that relative to the city of their size, they do have a large number compared to their population. So there is kind of a question there about how that number has amassed over the years.
It was interesting to read that in some cases these police departments were not even certain where these kits were being stored. They were in different places. There didn't seem to be protocols in place. What does this say about the organization and the procedure surrounding rape kits?
Yeah, I think part of the challenge about trying to get a count on the number of kits is that, especially in smaller police departments, there aren't a lot of rigorous mechanisms in place to kind of keep track and evidence. And so last year when like the state went to all these agencies and said, please count your kits, you know, that literally required some officers to go into these giant refrigerators and to look through boxes and investigative files and try to come up with some type of count. You know, there was no database of barcodes that they could look up or some type of report that they could quickly look up. And that's now an issue this year as they're going back to all those cases and trying to classify them and figure out which ones need to be tested.
And in terms of figuring out which ones need to be tested, how do police departments start to prioritize that? You've got a backlog. You can't test them all at once. So how do you go through and decide which ones should come first?
The state is still kind of figuring that out, but there's they've already set in place kind of a three-tiered priority system. In that first tier are kits that have a very immediate need in court. You know, like there's a court date coming up and they need to get that evidence tested for a mainly procedural reason. Second, there are cases where there's 6-year statute of limitations is coming up. And if they don't get that kit tested and, you know, identify a suspect, that they could miss, you know, putting someone behind bars. Third is really gets more into the details of the case. So looking at, which kits are most likely to identify a suspect or going to be most valuable to an investigation. You know, I talked with a lot of police agencies for this story, and an example of a type of kit that is viewed as not as valuable are cases where, you know, the person who the kit was taken from has already said they don't want to be part of the criminal justice system, they don't want to proceed with charges, or they've kind of recanted their story and said, you know, I am not saying that I was assaulted. Those are the types of cases that police are now trying to sort through as well and to figure out where do all these pieces fit together.
We're talking right now with Keegan Kyle, a reporter with the Gannett, Wisconsin Media Investigative Team, talking about a new report on untested rape kits here in Wisconsin. And in terms of the cost that we're talking about here, 6,000 untested rape kits, how much does it cost to process these and actually test them?
Well, each kit, it's not cheap, first of all. Each kit is about $1,000. So looking at, you know, Wisconsin's estimated 6,000 cases, we're talking about in the range of $6 million to try to erase all of these cases. That's part of the equation about why the state is looking at these cases so carefully, is because they want to try to figure out which ones are most in need of actually being tested and spending that money to get them tested immediately, and which cases maybe don't need to be tested, in which case the state could save some money.
Now, it's worth talking about why these matter, because we've started to hear, as this comes into public consciousness, that the term rape kit, it sounds a little bit clinical, a little bit removed, but tell us why they matter.
Well, this has been a really great debate within law enforcement and within the larger community about what types of kits should be tested, which should be sent to the state crime lab. And within law enforcement, there's a lot of debate about this because, one, cost is a factor, and two, if you're testing these kits, you know, that can potentially delay other types of evidence. On the other hand, this growing national databases we have of DNA has shown that there are advantages to testing all types of kits, especially in the cases of where you have attackers who work, for lack of a better term, across jurisdictions. And so police can kind of piece together through these kits how someone might be a serial offender across both in Wisconsin and, let's say, Illinois or Minnesota. And even cases where, you know, you might think that you only have a single incident that you're really looking at. Only when you test these cases are you maybe possibly going to get a hit in a DNA database that reveals a much broader picture. And that's been kind of one of the driving reasons why the state is re-looking at all these cases. Even cases where, you know, victims do not want to be part of the criminal justice system, or it's unclear that a crime actually occurred, police are looking at those cases for possibly being tested because it might help piece together this larger picture using DNA databases.
Is there a plan here in Wisconsin to try to get 100% reporting from departments across the state?
Maybe. I'm not sure. You'd have to double check that with the DOJ, but I know that they are going back this year to all of the agencies, even the ones that didn't respond, and are trying to get a better count on how many cases there are, and also to classify all the cases that are out there in this priority system that they're creating.
And Keegan, what's the plan going forward for Wisconsin for getting some of these tested? You talked about priorities, but is there some sort of timeline?
Yeah, the state hopes in the next few months to wrap up kind of classifying all these cases, and then hopefully by the end of the year they can start to schedule, you know, actual cases for being tested. And it's not going to be like, you know, one huge dump where all 6,000 cases get sent to the state crime lab. Again, it's going to be kind of in this tiered order of trying to do prioritized cases that have the most urgent needs.
Are there any success stories of cities in Wisconsin that have been effective at reducing the backlog?
That's a little unclear. You know, one agency that we highlighted in our story was the Milwaukee Police Department, which last year reported to the state that it had 2,600 cases. And then when we filed a records request this year, told us it had about 1,600. We contacted the department to talk more about that, but just weren't able to get in touch before our deadline today. Other places, the numbers are also in a little bit of a fluctuation. You know, these reports and surveys represent kind of a snapshot in time. So last year, Green Bay, for instance, you know, reported to the state that it was around 320 cases. And then this year reported that it was up to 350, 360. But there are other departments that are a little bit more, or it's not, like I said, I think the issue is that police departments don't have this rigorous tracking system. So in some cases, like the Wausau Police Department, for example, last year they reported that they had 112 cases. But when we went back to them this year to talk about that, they reported that actually the number was about a third of that. And they kind of mistakenly took the state survey to mean that they wanted to get a count of all kits within their lockers, not only untested ones. So this may be a long way of saying that the picture is not as clear as you might hope, and that actually measuring, you know, is the backlog increasing or decreasing is a little trickier than you might think.
Keegan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Keegan Kyle, a reporter with the Gannett, Wisconsin Media Investigative Team. His story on untested rape kits in Wisconsin was just released this afternoon. We've got a link to that story on the Central Time Facebook page.